John 13, we're going to start in verse 21. It says, when Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me. The disciples began looking to one another at loss not to know which one he was speaking. There was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, tell us who it is. Tell us who it is he is speaking. He leaned back thus on Jesus' bosom and said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus then answered, that the one whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him. So when he dipped the morsel, he took it and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the morsel, Satan entered into Judas. Therefore Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now no one of those who were reclining at the table knew what purpose he had said this to him, for they were supposing because Judas had the money box that Jesus was saying to them, go buy things we need for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, he went out immediately, and it was night. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day, and Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet on your table again. Lord, help us to study your scripture, Father, and to let your scripture speak, and Father, understand what the importance that you have on what you say, Father, and Father, guide us in all we do there. In Jesus' name, amen. So, prior to this, as we talked last time, in the first 20 verses of chapter 13, we see that Jesus, we went over two parts, two weeks there, and Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And there was a few reasons why he did that, or a big reason was that he was showing them to be a servant. It wasn't that that's a custom that we are to do now. He washed the feet, and he was serving them while also reclining and eating with them, even eating with the one who is going to betray him. So we see here that he's troubled in his spirit. In verse 21, it said he was troubled in his spirit, and he said, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And he goes on a little further, and he references where Peter is trying to figure it out, and he gestures to the disciple whom Jesus loved. And as we're going to see, this is talking about John. When he says the disciples whom Jesus loved, is talking about John, the writer, John the apostle. And he's sitting next to Jesus, and he leans back in his bosom, and he asked him the question, who is the person who is going to betray you? So to understand this, we kind of really have to understand the dining custom of what they had in the first century. And we kind of mentioned a little bit when we went through chapter 12, when the woman goes and washes his feet at the table. And so when you're reclining at this time, and specifically for this meal that they were having, is that you'd almost recline. It wasn't like sitting at chairs where you have a lot of the supper paintings and stuff like that that people will have, and they have like this big chair and everybody's just kind of sitting around. All the paintings, that they're all sitting on the one side of this huge long table, which is kind of stupid because nobody's on this other side. But they have all these paintings for how it is, and really how it would be is they would be reclining, their feet would be behind him, as we kind of mentioned when we talk about the woman coming and washing their feet. And then we see Jesus washing the feet too. It's not like they pulled their chairs out and just let him wash his feet. They were reclining at the table and probably with their left elbow leaning on the left elbow. So when you were reclining this way, you would be in what would be referred to as being in close to or in the bosom of someone. The person next to you to your right would be considered that, okay? So the picture here that we're getting is that maybe as we have gotten is like John's like sitting on Jesus' lap, which that's not the case. And that's not what the custom was. And when he was saying that, he's referring to the person who is here. So when you're leaning on your with your left elbow and you're reclining with your feet behind you, not like laid on your belly, but if you're up at a table, it's reclining back. This is a person that, I mean, we might refer to it today as in your bubble, you know. The person behind you isn't really, your back's to them. The person in front of you is the one that you might talk to most, and he can hear everything you say, you know, the whispers you say. The person behind you can't. The person across the table can't hear even some of those things. Looking at a couple other spots, if you go back to verse 12 of chapter 13, it emphasizes there that after he had washed their feet, he had taken his garments and he reclined at the table again. And then he goes on. So he reclined at the table again. He was reclining before. He was reclining again after he washed their feet. So they were reclining again. If you turn back to Matthew 26. And there's other spots we could go to when he talks about reclining and when they're eating. Because that was a custom that they would, how they would eat. In verse 20 of Matthew 26, it says, "Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples, and they are eating." And we go into what's when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper there in Matthew 26. And then we see also Mark's accounts and Luke's accounts reference the Lord's Supper. So John is referencing the same time here when they're reclining at the table. Okay, and we'll have some more of those passages to kind of tie that together again. But turn back to John chapter 19. Actually, John chapter 18. Okay, I wrote that, but it's actually supposed to be John chapter 13. So go back to the text that we had, John chapter 13. We will go to John chapter 19 and 18 today, but we're going to go to John chapter 13 here first. Verse 26. It says, "Then Jesus answered that this is the one whom I shall dip the morsel and give to him. So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas the son of Simon Iscariot. And after the morsel, Satan entered into him. Therefore Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.'" So when John reclines back and he asks Jesus, you know, he's a close personal friend there. He's asking Jesus, you know, who that is. And John, and Jesus says, "The one who I dipped the morsel." Now, we might think that there probably would be something that everybody would have heard. But it doesn't say that Jesus spoke to everyone. Because John there is asking him, "Who is it, Lord?" Okay, and just to reference, go to John chapter 19. When Jesus is on the cross and he's about ready to die, right before that, in verse 26, it says, "When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household." So Jesus was really close to John. So you see that when he is sitting there, he has John next to him. And that's why you have the setup you do. You have your custom, how they're going to eat, how they're going to recline at the table, and then you have John sitting next to him there. And because he is close to John, as we can see, he trusts the care of his mother into John with the care of his mother. He says, "Hey, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." So he is trusting John, probably you could say is one of his most trusted disciples there, because he's entrusting him with his mother to care for her, because he knows he's going to die and he's going to move on. "Behold your mother and your son." So he's trusting that. So when John is next to him, when he leans back in him, it's not that John is sitting on his lap, but he's close enough to hear Jesus, and he might be his most valued disciple there, is one of his closest friend. So then when he says that, it doesn't say that he said it to the whole table. He says that to John. Okay, he answered John when he said, Lord, who is it? And so he said, the disciple, or the one I give the morsel to, the one I dip the morsel, dip the bread, and give it to. And if you look in verse 30, back in chapter 13, in verse 30, immediately after receiving the morsel, he went out, and it was that night. So Judas went betraying Jesus on that specific night. Now, he had made some plans prior to that. If you look into Matthew's gospel and other things, he had plans prior to that with the chief priests and probably already been paid and stuff. Matthew says he looked for an opportune time to betray him. And then it goes into talking about the Passover that they're partaking here and sharing together, the meal they're sharing together. And then it talks about him leaving after that. So Judas had already planned some things out. But here, I want to point out, because it does apply to some things we're looking at later, is that it was this very night that Judas went out, and then he betrayed him. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 1 for a second. Genesis chapter 1. In verse 5, it says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning one day. And you go down even further, and when he talks about the second day, in verse 8, there was evening, and there was morning the second day. And down in verse 13, there was evening, and there was morning the third day, and on down through the 6 days of creation. So when we look at that one, when we see that it was at night, there's different phrases in understanding some of the, if you want to call it lingo or whatever, but how they would use that those terms. And when we use the same things, we call evening a time where it's, you know, it can be a time, you know, close to sunset, but it also, depending on the time of year, we call evening like this time of year where it's dark at 5, evening still is after dark. Okay, night, you're going to refer to maybe a little later at night sometimes. You can refer to night as a dark time period as well, which is completely true. It just depends on the context. So when we're looking here at evening and some of these things that we're going to look at, and knowing that Judas went out by night, sometimes we get the idea, when we're examining, of what day we're talking about here and what specific reason Jesus is eating this dinner with his disciples, and we understand that Judas went out the same night that they ate the supper and betrayed them. So when we see that Jesus is betrayed, we understand it's the same night. We understand it's during the night time period, and actually relatively late. Because if you recall when Jesus is praying and he asks his disciples to pray with him, what'd they do? They fell asleep because it was late at night. So it wasn't just like at 5 o'clock after the dark time here that you're talking about. It is later at night. So when we say evening or when we say night, sometimes we can refer to the time before sunset. Sometimes it's just after sunset. Sometimes night can be out in the dark time period. And sometimes night can be really late at night. And so letting the scripture give us some detail on that is going to be important. But we need to know that evening was first, which again makes sense because the sun sets, the day ends. Evening was first, daylight was second, and sunset was the end. Then it began the new day again because the sun goes down. It's actually really logical how God set that up. We have the Roman time, which is what John is going to be using some of those phrases as well. The Roman sayings and such, because we have our day begins in the middle of the night. But midnight would make sense if midnight wasn't right exactly in the middle of the nighttime portion of the day, where we have it as it changes the day. Okay, so there's different customs there. The Jewish custom would be evening, but after sunset, at the dark time period. Midnight would be the middle of the nighttime portion. The end of the nighttime portion would begin daylight and be the first hour of the day. Then the middle of the daylight portion would be the sixth hour of the day, according to Jewish custom. And then it would be sunset, which would close out the day. or it's referred to sometimes as twilight. Okay, let's turn back to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23. So it is, before we get into this here, it's commonly understood or it's commonly taught that, so this is, I mean, it's referred to as the Last Supper, or it's referred to as Jesus eating the Passover with his apostles before he dies. Okay, now, there can be some apparent contradiction there if we don't really understand what some of the little details there and don't let the scripture explain it. So when Jesus is eating here, it is taught that, okay, it's Jesus is eating the Passover meal. And what they refer to that is the Jewish Passover meal. Okay? So Leviticus 23 says we're going to look at the Jewish Passover. And so we're going to start in verse 4. And it says, these are the appointed times for the holy convocations, which would be like the rest days, you know, separate from the Saturday rest days, okay? Which you shall proclaim at the times, at the appointed times for them. In the first month, on the 14th of the month of the twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by offerings by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no laborious work. Okay, so you have the Passover, which is on the 14th day of the month of the first month, and then you have the 7 days of unleavened bread, which would have began on the 15th of the month and go through the 21st. Okay, so it would on the first day of unleavened bread would be a holy convocation. They would do no laborious work on that day. And on the seventh day of the unleavened bread, they would do the same thing. Okay, now let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Now this is when God is taking Egypt or Israel out of Egypt there, but he's instructing them before the 10th plague to have the Passover lamb and how to kill the Passover lamb and such like that and what to do with it after that. But in verse 6 of Exodus chapter 12, it says, you shall kill it, keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation is to kill it at twilight. Okay, remember the 14th, it says in Leviticus 23, on the 14th day of the first month, the Passover was to be killed at twilight. Okay, so this is what he's talking about here in verse 6 and 7, they kill it at twilight. Then in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 12, it says, moreover, you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of your houses in which they eat. Then you shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire. Then they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Okay, so you got a couple different things. Remember, you have some of those words there. Okay, evening can be talking about where it is closing in on the sunset. Okay, they're killing that at twilight. They killed it on the 14th day, and they had to eat it then. They killed it, and the feast began, but then they carried over into the 15th day, which had been the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay. Now, when it says that same night, so when we're using that, again, evening was first, daylight was second. Sunset was the end of the day according to the Jewish custom and how they would count the days. That's why when Paul and them are meeting on the first day of the week, they're meeting at night, and Eutychus falls out of the upper room, and they kept that custom until the Romans would change it, and that's what we have now. So they had that they killed it at twilight or right before sunset. Now remember, on the 15th day they couldn't do any laborious work, so they couldn't have done any preparation for this on the 15th day. They had to be all done on the 14th day. All the preparation was done on the 14th day. They killed the lamb, they prepared it, and then they cooked it, prepared the feast, and they ate it. And that eating would carry on into the evening. or into the nighttime portion of the next day, how the Jews would be accustomed to counting. Turn back to, skip down verse 17 of Exodus chapter 12 there. It says, "You shall also observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread. Until the 21st day of the month, at evening." Okay, so now it seems like, okay, what, the 14th day. Remember, though, it says, what kind of bread did they have to eat with the Passover lamb? They'd eat unleavened bread with the Passover lamb. And if you read back further, which we're not going to, they were supposed to prepare and clean their houses of the leaven on the 14th day, or the day of preparation. Take all leaven out of the houses and prepare, and then they were to kill the lamb and eat it on the 14th day. And it says at evening on the 14th day. So the evening of the 14th day wasn't the first day of the unleavened bread, but they ate unleavened bread that evening. And that's what it's saying there. They're going to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They're going to eat it with the Passover, and they're going to continue to eat the Feast of Unleavened Bread all through the 15th to the 21st, which is 7 days if you count out the days. The 14th would be the 8th day. Okay, so it's 7 days if you count out the days from the 15th to the 21st, and they were to eat it until the evening or sunset of the 21st. And then the 22nd would have been not the Feast of Unleavened Bread anymore. Turn to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now, in verse 17, it says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?'" Now that can really seem like it's contradicting, because we know that if it was actually the first day of the unleavened bread, talking about the 15th of the month, they couldn't do any preparing, because they weren't supposed to do any laborious work. I mean, they had to prepare their meals, but they couldn't clean out their houses. They couldn't do that work. So when they say here, "I was on the first," and really the word "day" there is italicized, and it's not in the Greek in Matthew's text. So what he says is the first of the unleavened bread, which by the time that when you have the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you really have, they're really combined into one feast, because it's Passover, boom, unleavened bread right after, because you're eating your Passover meal on into the first day of unleavened bread. So, but as he said in Exodus, from the evening of the 14th, which was not the first day of unleavened bread, because the Leviticus says that the first day of unleavened bread started on the 15th. But the evening of the 14th, they ate unleavened bread with their Passover meal. So when they say here, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread," the disciples came to him asking, "Where should we prepare for you to eat the Passover?" So it tells us a couple things there. Again, is they haven't ate the Passover yet. They haven't prepared, because if they actually ate the Passover, the lamb should have already been killed. And everything should have already been prepared. But what it was is that it was at night on the 14th, which was the beginning of the day, because evening is first, then morning, and daylight, and then it was evening that ended the 14th day when the Passover lamb would have been killed. So we'll just throw a number out there and say it was 6 o'clock, six o'clock or whatever, how we would count 6 o'clock, in the evening when they came. But how the Jewish custom would be is that would have been the start of the day. That would have been the start of the 14th day, which would have been the first of the day of the unleavened bread, because they ate unleavened bread that day with the Passover meal. They cleaned all the leaven out of their houses that day and took it out. They prepared for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. In verse 12, it emphasizes further, on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples came and said, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" So you see there again that the Passover lamb had not been sacrificed yet. It was just simply the first day of unleavened bread, which was not the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but it was the day of Passover, which they would have ate unleavened bread as well. So really there was seven days that they would eat unleavened bread, or 8 days that they would eat unleavened bread, but it wasn't the Feast of Unleavened Bread yet, because the Passover lamb hadn't been killed. Because remember, they didn't kill the Passover lamb on the 15th, they killed it on the 14th. And they specify here, Mark specifies here, on the day that the Passover lamb was going to be sacrificed. Turn to Luke chapter 22. As you see again here, verse 7, it says, "Now on the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had been sacrificed, Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go prepare for the Passover for us, that we may eat.' And they asked, 'Where do you want us to prepare it?'" But Jesus sent them to do this. Okay? And it's kind of important when we talk a little bit later here, we're gonna bring out some things. So we see that the first day, the day that we're talking about here is, in fact, the 14th day of the month, which would be the day of Passover, which the Passover lamb was to be killed. But remember, the Passover lamb was killed at the end of the day, right before sunset. So the day before they prepared. And he says there on the first day of unleavened bread, and then they ask him, "Where should we go prepare for us to eat the Passover?" So it's at evening on the 14th, which was the beginning of the day, they ask where we need to prepare to eat the Passover. And Jesus instructs them to go do that. But it was on the same day as unleavened bread, or as when the Passover lamb was killed. But the Passover lamb wasn't killed till evening. Turn back to Matthew 26. Now there's some explanations of what people are going to say of why this was the Passover, and they might even give, they're even going to give like the priest didn't, no, they didn't keep the Passover on the same day, and there's like several different ideas of why this was the Passover of the Jews, and we're going to see from the scripture that it wasn't the Passover of the Jews, but in verse 26, notice that we're going to hit it from a few different angles here. Notice with the chief priests how they're going to go about trying to plot against Jesus. In verse 3 of Matthew 26, it says, "Then the chief priests and the elders and the people who gathered together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth to kill him, but they were saying, 'Not during the festival, otherwise we might incur a riot from the people.'" So they did not want to do it during the festival. Now, there is some common belief is that the high priests were going with their shenanigans and trying to do it, so they ate it later, which is a stupid argument anyway. But that's actually kind of a relatively popular argument in a little bit. But they try to say that they ate it a day later. But the priest specifically did not want to seize him on during the feast, because they were worried about a riot. So they're going to seize him prior to that and get him out of the way prior to that is what they want to do. And that was their plan. Now, we'll look at more stuff, but just because that was their plan doesn't necessarily mean it went that way. But we're going to see that it does. We're going to look at some more stuff on the other side. Turn back to John chapter 18. So now we're here in John 18. This is after Jesus is arrested. After Jesus is arrested, in verse 28, it says, "Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium, and it was early." Now, words mean something to God, and God uses specific language here. He says, "It was early. And they themselves did not enter into the praetorium so that they would not be defiled, but might eat the Passover." So we have, again, evening and morning. Evening was first. The Peter and John go and prepare the Passover. Jesus eats with his disciples. Judas leaves. Jesus is betrayed. Jesus is before Caiaphas. This is through the night. Okay, it's not like it was the next day. Early in the morning, they go to Pilate's house. But they did not enter it because they did not want to be defiled so they could still eat the Passover. Okay. Now one thing is that people have also tried to say is that there was reasons that the apostles or that the priest could change the date, like because there was actually provisions to if you couldn't eat the Passover on the 14th of the first month, it was the 14th of the second month. If like you had to bury someone who was dead or stuff like that that made you unclean. The thing is that those who hold that view say that the Jesus ate the Passover of the Jews on the correct day, and then the high priest ate it the next day, which that's not the provision. If they couldn't eat it on the 14th of the first month, they had to wait till the 14th of the second month to eat it. So that doesn't fit with the scripture either. Again, that when we start adding conjecture there and assuming that this is, the priest must have had to have ate a different Passover or ate at a different time, then you start getting into things where it contradicts other parts of scripture. Turn to chapter 19, just to emphasize a little bit more, John chapter 19, verse 14. It says, this is after the soldiers had scourged him, and he had let him out, and he was, the Jews are saying away with him. And in verse 14, it says, "Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, 'Behold, here's your king,'" and so on. The day of preparation for the Passover, the sixth hour would mean, because John is using Roman time here, it would be roughly six in the morning, possibly. Okay, remember, they said it was early in the morning that they went to Pilate. Early in the morning they went to Pilate. Or it doesn't even say early in the morning. They went early, it says. The supposed trial they had for Jesus was through the night time when people were asleep. They took him to Pilate, trying to get him to kill him. It was early in the morning. And Pilate then here, it says it was the day of preparation, and it was about the sixth hour. The day of preparation for the Passover. Okay, so the Passover lamb had not been killed yet. And so therefore, the Passover lamb was not killed when Jesus and his apostles ate the Passover. Turn ahead again to verse 31. It says, after Jesus had died here, he was still on the cross. It said, "Now then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation for the Passover, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath." Remember what the next day was? The 15th was a holy convocation. It was a high Sabbath. That's what it says there. It says, "For that Sabbath was a high day." It specifies that Sabbath was a high day. That's not Saturday. It was the holy convocation, the first day of unleavened bread, the 15th of the month, which you could do no laborious work on. And in order that the bodies would not remain there on the Sabbath, they wanted the legs to be broken. They came and asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Okay, so the priests wanted Jesus to make sure he was dead so they could take the bodies off and not remain there on the Sabbath, because they couldn't go get him off on the Sabbath. So they're going to remain there a couple more days, and then they're going to have to take him down and deal with them. They don't want to do that, so they want to do it now, get it done with. So you have Jesus prepared, the Passover prepared, him eating the Passover meal with his apostles, him being betrayed, the high priest in their phony trial, taking him to Pilate early. Then Pilate sends him to Herod, sends him back to him. He has him on the day of preparation, early in the morning, he sends him out to be scourged, and then he's on the cross, then there's darkness during the period, then he dies, and then between sunset, where they couldn't do any more work, before that, enough time that they could have got the bodies down and had them taken care of, they said, hey, can you go make sure he's dead? Because they didn't want him to remain on the cross over the Sabbath, over the high Sabbath. And so you could say another one of the more popular ones of this is that John was using, and Jesus was using a different calendar than the high priests would have. So that's why they would eat the Passover of the Jews, and then the high priest would have ate their Passover the next day, is what they're saying. But the thing is that we skip ahead to verse 42, and we see here and a couple times here that Jesus' own disciples were still preparing. Verse 42, let's go back to verse 41. Now there was a place where he was crucified. It was in the garden. And we know that Joseph of Arimathea came here, and him and Nicodemus are taking him. But in verse 41, now there was the place where he was crucified. There was a garden, and this was near it. And in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had been laid. Therefore, because of the Jewish day of preparation for the Passover, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. So you have this short window where they have to get him off the cross. His disciples get him off the cross. And the disciples, if they had already ate the Passover, if they were following a different calendar than the Jewish priests were and the Jewish leaders were, they would have already ate the Passover. They would have already had the day of a preparation. And in fact, they wouldn't have been able to take him off the cross and defile themselves on the Sabbath, which they weren't supposed to do any work. And so it says, because it was the day of preparation, and because the tomb was near, they took and laid Jesus there. Because they had to get it done before sunset, because they couldn't do any laborious work, because the sunset began the next day, which would have been the 15th of Abib, or Nisan, and that would have been a day of a high Sabbath, where they couldn't do any work. Because they could have went into the evening if it wasn't a Sabbath. And they could have went into the evening if they didn't count the days beginning at sunset. They could have went after dark a ways. And they still could have done that. And it's not like we only started working after dark because we have lights now. I mean, they probably did some stuff after dark. They could have figured it out. But they had to do it quickly, and they had to do it nearby, in the tomb nearby, because they had to do it before the Sabbath began, the high Sabbath. Now let's go back and look in Matthew 27. Now just so we're showing that they're using the same calendar here. Now remember, God uses words for a reason, and he emphasized in John that it was a day of preparation. And he doesn't reference in John that he doesn't use the other words when the Passover lamb is going to be sacrificed. He does use the day of preparation for the Passover, so that's obviously what he's talking about, okay? But just for the sake of people who are going to try and split hairs with that, look in Matthew 27, which it does reference in the other three Gospels, when he talks about the disciples preparing the Passover. It specifies that it was the day of preparation, it was the day that the Passover lamb was killed. So in verse 62, this is after Jesus had died, after the Passover, after the day of preparation, which would have been the 14th. Verse 62, it says, now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and said, sir, we remember how this deceiver said that he would rise after 3 days again. Okay. So we're not going to go into any of that. The point of that is that it was the day they came to Pilate the next day after he had died, after the preparation, which would have been the 15th of the month. See, both Jesus' disciples and Jesus himself and the leaders of Israel were using the same calendar. They weren't using a different calendar. And the reason it is, and the people have, a lot of these scholars, you're probably not going to find many scholars that hold this, because the scholars are still, they're focused on that it has to be the Jewish, or the Passover of the Jews that Jesus is celebrating there. But it says here that Jesus, after he died, the next day, after the day of preparation. So that means that Jesus died on the day of preparation. That means that Jesus was dead and on the cross and dying before the Passover lambs were killed. Therefore, when Peter and John came, or the disciples came and asked Jesus, "Hey, where's on the day of unleavened bread, which was the 14th?" It wasn't the Feast of Unleavened Bread, but they ate unleavened bread on the 14th with the Passover. They came to him on the day of preparation at evening, at the beginning of the day, and said, "Where should we prepare the feast for you, the Passover for you?" And then Jesus, he ate a Passover with them, but he was betrayed before the Passover lamb was killed. And he was buried before the 15th day. So he was killed when the Passover lamb was killed as well on the same day. So he couldn't have ate the Jewish Passover with his disciples. Turn back to John chapter 13. And actually, before we go there, let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Now, just to emphasize again here that this is all happening in the same night. Matthew 26, verse 26. It says, while they were eating, okay, this is the Passover that Jesus asked his disciples to prepare, okay? While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup, he given thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. For I say to you, I'll not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the night when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to them, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Okay? So that's important there, is that Jesus tells Peter that Judas goes and betrays him, and Jesus tells Peter, "This very night you're going to betray." There's no gap in there. There's no separation from when Jesus ate the Passover to a time when he was crucified, and then there's another Passover. It's the very same night. Turn back to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Now, another reason, again, this might emphasize a little bit more that Jesus and his apostles were on the same calendar as the high priest, and it also emphasizes that the Passover hadn't happened yet. So in verse 28 of John chapter 13, it says, "Now, after Jesus had gave Judas the morsel, and Judas left," it says, "Now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, 'Buy the things we have need of for the feast,' or else he should give something to the poor." So if they were eating the Passover already, why would his apostles think that he had to buy something for the feast still? See, this is telling us that they were eating a Passover, and they even asked Jesus, "Where should we prepare the Passover?" And they probably were planning on some of that. But when they had this meal, when Jesus is talking about this Passover, he referenced that in Luke 22, but he talks about this Passover, after that, Judas goes out, and the rest of the apostles think that Judas must be going and buying something for the Passover or for the feast, which tells us that it hasn't happened yet, which tells us that they didn't have the Passover a day different than the high priest either, because they're still saying, well, he's got to go buy something for the feast. He's got the money box. That's what they didn't understand that it was about him betraying him. They just were thinking, oh, he's got to go and buy something for the feast. Obviously, it's because the feast hasn't happened yet. We can have all this conjecture and everything like that of why, you know, that Jesus ate the Passover and it's a different calendar or than the high priest had, or another one was, and I love this one, but I hate it because it's like people really don't think when they say things. Is they think, well, because Jesus was God means he could break the law, and that's stupid. So he could do it whenever he wanted to, is what they're saying. Obviously, here it's even telling us that that's not true, because the apostles thought that Judas was going to buy stuff for the feast. And the high priest also had to kill the Passover, or the priest had to kill the lambs. So we add all this conjecture to try and make sense in our head instead of letting the scripture speak for what it says and actually understand what God is actually meaning by the passage. Turn back to Matthew 26 again. Matthew 26, we read verse 17 already, but we're going to read it again into verse 18. It says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he said, 'Go into a certain city, into a certain man, and say to him, "The teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples."'" So when we see this here, and if we go look at and examine the other Gospels about this, we see that Peter and John went away, and they went and they found a place prepared already. And then they had some other preparations that they did as well. And then after they ate the deal, we see in John 13, our text, that Judas went out and they thought he had to go buy something for the Passover, or for the feast, it says. But what feast are they talking about? They aren't going to go buy stuff on the 15th day, because you're not supposed to buy stuff on that day. You're supposed to prepare beforehand. So they are preparing for the feast, which included the Passover. That word in verse 18, when it says, "My time is near, I am to keep the Passover at your house," that word actually means to make or to do or to act or to cause or to work. It's used in Matthew 3:3, where it says, where it's talking about John the Immerser, and it says, "Go and make the paths of the Lord straight," or "make straight the ways of the Lord." He's quoting from Old Testament there, where John is going and proclaiming, and he is preparing the way as a forerunner for Jesus. But the word is used, he's used, and he said it's used and translated correctly, that he is making that. Go make ready the ways of the Lord. Here, this word for keep, if it was changed, and I'm not saying it's never translated keep, but it depends on the context. Jesus can't keep the Passover if the Passover lamb isn't sacrificed yet. Jesus doesn't keep the Passover on a day when the Passover wasn't supposed to be kept. Jesus isn't the lawbreaker just because he's the Lord. If that's the case, then he shouldn't have worked at all. He could have worked all the way on the Sabbath day and done whatever else, not worried about even going to the feast. Why do that? If he's Lord, if he can break the law, why keep part of it? But if you were to translate that word keep to make, it would say, "My time is near, I am to make a Passover at your house with my disciples." Turn to Luke 22. Now, I'm going to back up just a little bit here just to kind of show that they went and they prepared this place. Or this is where they went and they found this place. So the one we just read in Matthew, Luke 22 is a parallel passage to that. And then in verse 7, we'll just start in verse 7. It says, "Now it came about on the first day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.' So they went. They said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare it?' And he said to them, 'When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters. Yeah, and you shall say to him, the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is your guest room that I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there.' They left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And Jesus said to them, 'I earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.'" See, when you have a bias to start with, and people are going to say this, that what I'm saying is no scholars that say that. No scholars are going to, you know, and they'll even use in some of the articles I read, one particular one said there's really trusted scholars what they're basically saying there is a really good scholars that are true to the scripture, and they're saying that it was different calendars that they used. Okay? But when we see here that Matthew's account says, "I'm going to make a Passover with you," and they go and they prepare the Passover, and it was on the day that the Passover lamb was going to be killed. The Passover lamb had not been killed yet because they were going to prepare. And they go and prepare this Passover, and when the hour came, he said, "I earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." Now, we know from the other four Gospels that the Passover lamb had not been sacrificed yet. Because when Jesus, in the morning time, when Jesus is before Pilate, it says it's a day of preparation for the Passover. When Jesus is preparing this Passover and this Passover that he's eating, he is instituting the Lord's Supper. And he is specifying and getting the apostles so that in preparing that, to share this Passover with them before he suffers. For he will not eat it again, he says then, until he takes it with us in the kingdom of God, which is now. It doesn't happen in some Israel going back to some Jewish law after Jesus reigns for 1,000 years in Jerusalem. He is talking about that now. He made a Passover in the kingdom of God, the Lord's Supper, for us to participate or partake with him. That's what he was doing with his apostles before he died. That's why he earnestly desired to eat that with them before he died, and it wasn't the Jewish Passover. Because it could not have been, because the Passover lamb wasn't sacrificed yet. Whatever way you want to look at it, where you look at the high priest, how they're reacting and how they want to kill him before the festival, how the next day, they after the day of preparation, the next day they go and they say, "Hey, you need to seal this, Pilate." And even from Jesus' own disciples, that they have to hurry and get him in the tomb because the day of preparation, it was the day of preparation and the Sabbath was going to be there. They needed to break the legs on those who were on the cross because the Sabbath was coming, the high Sabbath, which would have been the 15th of the month, which was the first day of unleavened bread, which was a high Sabbath because that particular day of that year, it was actually on a Friday. And they didn't do any work on that Friday because it was the high Sabbath. Whenever the day of the 15th of the month falled on, they didn't do any work on that day. And the same with the 21st, the seventh day of that feast, they didn't do any work that day. And Jesus here says, "Hey, I need to go and prepare, and I'm going to make a Passover with my disciples." And that guy takes him to the upper room, and they prepare it. They didn't prepare it with lamb; they prepared it with bread and fruit of the vine. And there was other things. I'm not saying they didn't eat, but while they were eating together, he institutes the Lord's Supper, and he did that for a purpose. And of course, if you don't have the emphasis on the Lord's Supper, why would any scholars do that? That's something that's been been missed by tons of scholars, however reputable they are. That was a big word. But so just because the scholars are saying that it had to be the Passover of the Jews means we have to believe it. Is that have any of those scholars read their Bible when the Jews were saying the leaders of Israel were rebuking Jesus for doing certain things? Because those who were scholars in the know knew more than the common people, knew more than this Jesus who was trying to say things. It's exactly the same thing that happened. And God is emphasizing, and God uses words for a reason, and he wants us to emphasize and understand that God, he made this for us to share with him in the kingdom of God, which is now. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that we could gather around your table and we could share in this Passover in the kingdom of God. We could remember what you've done for us, Father, how you've made us new with you, how we have your spirit within us, how we are your children, Father, and we reign in your kingdom now. We thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen.